My message tonight is coming from 1 Samuel 17, so turn there with me if you would. 1 Samuel 17, I ask you guys to pray for us. Like I told the men, we've went 5,000 miles in the last month and a half, and I have to ask my wife where we're going. She keeps track of it. We're going to East Texas, Killeen, and then we come up to Nashville, and then we're going to Lexington, and then we're going to Ohio, and then coming back through. So I ask you to pray for us on that trip, that the Lord will provide everything for us and provide the safety and such. So turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. So my new bifocals, I don't have to take them off and put them back on anymore because they're bifocals. And so, got to get used to them. So, just pray for me on that too. All right, 1 Samuel 17. Y'all stand when you read. Yes, amen. Okay, stand if you would. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 and verse 49. The Bible says, "Now the Philistines were gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Ezekiah in Ephes Damien. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah, and set their battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side." And I want you to listen to this. And it says there was a valley between them. I'm going to flip over to verse 49. Verse 49 says, "And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the Fogg family coming to Denton, Lord. And ask you to just be with this church, be with the faithful members of this church. Lord, we thank you for the many praises and such from the soul winning this week. Thank you for getting to be able to see souls saved, Lord. And just ask you to continue to be with this church, Lord. Lord, just prepare our hearts and open our hearts to what you would have us to do, Lord. Lord, just help us to be fervent and know that it's not us that save people, Lord, it's you, and that we're just responsible to bring the message, Lord, that you've given us, Lord. And thank you, Lord. We know we deserved hell. We know that you gave us a second chance after you gave us the very breath of life to be alive, and we turned against you, Lord, and sinned against you. You still came and died for us and gave us salvation, Lord, when we deserved hell. And Lord, we thank you for giving us that salvation, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to serve you, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to forgive us where we failed you, Lord. And just ask you to be with us. Pour your Spirit upon us, Lord. Give us strength. And Lord, in the times towards the end, Lord, they're getting harder and harder, Lord. But we know that you're the same God, Lord, that you were at the beginning, Lord. And we just trust in you fully. Lord, just ask you to be with us. Give us the strength to go on, Lord. And we just love you and thank you for allowing us to be able to serve you, Lord. Thank you for the Bible that you've given us. And thank you for the example of the life that Christ led. Lord, we love you and thank you for everything. And may we give you honor and praise and glory in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got to get used to these. The Bible is full of stories about men that had strong faith. And so my message today, as I prepared this message, I started thinking about some things and what to call this message. And the title of my message is When God Calls You Out. When God Calls You Out. And our key verse, the one most predominant in this message that we have, is going to be is verse 3. But the Bible does say that it's full of stories. The Bible's full of stories about men that had strong faith, and they listened to the call of God.
Yep. Yeah.
In the book of Genesis alone, there's story after story of men who had strong faith.
Yep.
We talked about them today. We talked about them several times. Men like Moses, men like Abraham, who we were just talking about, Joseph and Noah. You think about Noah, a man that God said it's going to rain. And Noah didn't even know what rain was.
Yep.
But he had faith.
Amen.
And he just trusted God.
Amen.
And other Old Testament examples are like Joshua and Daniel. And there were women in the Old Testament too that showed, that had strong faith.
Yep.
And they're shown examples in the book of Ruth and the book of Esther, two women that were strong faith.
Amen.
We also have Elijah. We see the bold faith that Elijah had.
Yes, sir.
You know, Elijah had to have faith when he looked up at Ahab and he said, hey, it's not going to rain.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he did that.
Amen.
And of course, there's David. And David, whose 1 Samuel 17 was written. And this display of faith, it continues not only in the Old Testament, but it goes through the New Testament too. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, the phrase, by faith, is listed 16 times.
Yep.
By faith. Then it lists more and more names of faithful people all throughout the Bible that we haven't even mentioned. People like Paul and Peter. If you think about, as we read through this Bible, many men of faith and women of faith that were in this book. And the reason they had this wonderful, strong faith in the Lord was because they were all superheroes. That was it, right? No, they weren't. What were they? They were just normal people, just like us, which proves and tells us that God can use anybody,
amen,
including us.
Amen.
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 If God uses Todd Steele, God can use anybody. Amen. Listen to the words of Jesus as he talks about faith. Turn over to Luke chapter 17, verse 6. Luke 17, verse 6. I have to show you guys some stuff here that you guys got to understand where I'm coming from. I just got bifocals, but also love to write in my Bible. My wife makes fun of me. She says, make sure that you read that verse right so they don't think you're reading from the King James. I said, it's because I got all the scribbling in here. When I come to the Word, I can't see it because I scribbled on it so much. Amen. All right, so Luke 17, verse 6. Luke 17, verse 6 tells us, and the Lord God said, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Think about that as you turn over to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17, in verse number 20. The Bible says, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Amen.
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 And number three, let's flip over pretty close to Matthew 21, 21. Matthew 21, 21. It says, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. That's in the second half of the verse, not the whole verse. We must have faith when we don't know what lies around us and what lies ahead of us.
Amen.
You got to bear with me too. When I preach, a lot of things come to mind to me. And whenever, I was always taught in Bible college, whenever you preach, you want to preach. You read the Word of God, you study the Word of God, you listen to what God has for you, and then you apply that to your life. So a lot of times my messages, when I preach them, sometimes they're stuff that I had to deal with in my life. And so sometimes it's hard to preach them. So just ask you to just pray with me and be with me on those. But it says, we want to say, we want to have faith because we don't know what lies ahead and what lies around us. And that's what we come, when we come back to our text verse, 1 Samuel 17:3. I'll read it again. It said, "And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them." So I told you the title of my message, but the theme of my message, the theme of my message is, I must have faith when God moves me instead of the mountain. You know what? As we look at these two mountains that we were talking about, Israel was on one mountain, Philistines are on the other mountain. We think about our lives and when God wants to use us. And you know what? Sometimes we're over here on this mountain and God may say, you know what? I need you over here. And you know, we have that strong faith and we love our Lord and we say, you know what, Lord? I'll go over there. And we know that we have a strong and mighty God, and we know that God can just take His hand and just flick that mountain aside and let us go. Or He could take His little pinky finger and knock it down. Or He can come over here like we want. We always want this. That God would just take us by the hand and pick us up and set us over here on this mountain that He wants us to do. But as I talk about today, sometimes that doesn't always work out that way. Because a lot of times God wants to show us, yeah, I'm a mighty God, and we know He's a mighty God. Amen. But sometimes He wants to see how strong our faith is when He wants us to do something different. Something that's a little bit different than what we normally have. Something that we're not comfortable with. And you know, again, I say, we must have faith when God moves us instead of the mountain. First off, if we're going to leave this mountain, the mountain that we're on, where we're at, and we got to go, the first thing we must do is we must get out of our comfort zone.
Amen.
Now, when I'm talking about a mountain, don't get me wrong now, God calls people out to the mission field, different place. I'm not saying for God to take you and move you to another church. That's not moving on a mountain. What I'm talking about, and keeping context here, I'm talking about God's moving our faith.
Yeah.
Okay? And when we call it a mountain, and you think about a mountain, think about your life. What is the mountain in your life? The mountain in your life may be soul win. I want a soul win. It may be church attendance. It may be you're not faithful to come to church every service. It may be that God spoke to your heart and say, hey, I want you to teach a Sunday school class, or I want you to work in the nursery, or I want you to do something to serve, or just come out, like I said, just come out and go soul win it. It may be something like that. It may be that you go to work every day and there's a person there that you know is lost, but you never, never, never witness to. That may be the mountain that God's talking about here.
Yep.
You know? And so, whenever we come off of that mountain, and God says, hey, I want you to come, I want you to move, I want you to do this, we got to get out of our comfort zone.
Yep.
When we come out of our comfort zone, we got to start coming down off of that mountain. And you know what? And I know Brother Fogg and their family are just like us. You know what? God doesn't take you and send you over here to some place so you can come back and tell God, there's giants in that children's church, God. Do you know what goes on in there, God? He doesn't want us to go over to come back and tell Him what's going on. He already knows what's there. He knows what's there now. He knows what's there when we get there. He knows what's going to be there when we're long gone from there. And years beyond that. He doesn't need us to tell us. But by His grace and His mercy, He took a bunch of rotten sinners that deserved hell.
Yep.
And He saved us.
Amen.
And He allows us, and He gave us His Word. You realize this Bible, we call it a Bible, but this Bible is Jesus Christ. This is alive.
Amen.
This is the Word of God.
Yep.
God has entrusted a bunch of people that deserved hell, gave them salvation and said, here's my Bible.
Yep.
Go into the world and give it to others.
Amen.
By the grace of God, He allowed us to serve Him. And may I say to you, before David slew the giant, he had to leave the mountain he was on. He had to come out of his comfort zone and go where God wanted him to go.
Yep.
Second, when you leave that mountain and you come down and you're doing what God tells you to do, the next place you'll come through is that valley.
Yes, sir.
Everybody knows about the valley. We talked about that before. On a Wednesday night, I was a younger man then. Long time ago. No. On a Wednesday night at a church service at my church, much like Samuel, I surrendered to preach.
Amen.
I didn't know anything about what God, where God would send me, what He had for me. I just knew that I wanted to give my life for the service.
Amen.
Of God's calling. And I'm telling you, when I stepped out and I told the Lord that I felt called to preach, called to serve God. When I stepped out, it was just like, God was like, I've been waiting. And then when I stepped out, it was like, next to salvation, it was like one of the greatest things
Amen.
In the world.
Yep.
And you know what? When we talk about that valley, Satan knows what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was a few days after that that I surrendered to preach that I got a call from my sister. And it was one of these calls that it was only a couple days after, but it, you know, it's the call that you get right after you just tell God, God, I'll do anything for You. Anything. I'm giving my life to You, God. I'll serve You. I'll follow You. I'll be faithful. Anything. And you know what? Satan knows that you said that. And Satan's going to come and he's going to try to discourage you.
Yep.
And I answered that phone and my sister told me that my dad had passed away. My dad was 64 years old. I'm 50. My dad was 64. He was at the house, and he got up and he walked down the hallway of the house and collapsed and died in the hallway. I never got to say goodbye to my dad. And that was real hard for me when that happened. Real hard. And we were all torn up about it. And I have an older brother and a younger sister. And I can remember when we went to the funeral and we were standing and we were looking in the casket. And you know, Satan, he wanted to try to discourage us, and he wanted us to blame God for my dad dying. And I'll never forget that my brother looked at the casket and he looked at me and he said, "Why did God take Dad? He was a good man and he was still young." And not knowing what to say, I bowed my head, because we're all human, you know. Yeah. And somehow in my heart I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
But I just knew we had to trust the Lord. And so I looked at my brother and sister and I said, "Well, let me pray." And we prayed. And then I raised up my head and I looked at him and I said that we shouldn't ask God why he took our dad. That we should ask God why he left us here.
Amen.
Because you know what? If God wanted us out of here, once we got saved, he would have took us out then. But he didn't. And that shows us there's a reason we're here.
Amen.
I kept thinking about Psalms 23 as it was going through my mind. I kept saying, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me."
Amen.
And I want you to remember, if you never go through a valley or you never have any kind of problem, you can never know that God can solve it. Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the valleys. Brother Benny, thank you for your testimony. Thank you for you guys' testimony. Praise the Lord for the trials that we go through. The trials show us that we can be stronger and that we serve a mighty God. May I say to you, before David slew the giant, he had to leave his mountain, come out of his comfort zone, come down and go through the valley.
Yeah. That's good, brother.
Third, when you come off of that mountain and you go through that valley, the next thing we got to do is we got to start climbing that next mountain. And you know what? When we start climbing that mountain, it's all fun. You know, like the roller coaster when you go down the hill. It's all fun when you're going down. But then when you start to go back up again, and your legs get tired, and you get tired, and it's more of a struggle. But as we go up that mountain, things are going to happen that are going to make you want to quit. And I can tell you, the older that you get, things that happen that you wish you could go back and change. You know what? But we can't go back and change anything. But we can go forward and change those things. You know what? God says, drop it. Come to the altar. Give it to God. Put it down and go and look what God has. And God will give us new. And God will use us if we just keep going. No matter what, we got to keep going forward.
Yes,
we got to keep going. We cannot quit. We must climb that next mountain.
Yes.
I may say to you, before David slew the giant, he had to leave his mountain. He had to leave his comfort zone. He had to come through the valley. He had to climb the next mountain. And guess what? When you get that next mountain, guess who's on the mountain? Those giants were on the mountain on the other side. You know what? The Bible tells us just to face those giants. And we got to trust. Turn to Ephesians 6:11. Ephesians 6:11. Y'all were in children's church today, so I'm going to give you the children's church lesson. I should have brought the little outfit that we had and had Brother DeShay so put it on up here. With the breastplate of righteousness and helmet of salvation that we had. Ephesians 6:11. I'm going to read verse 11 through a little bit. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That was our verse today. You know what? Adults, we can read verses too. Amen. Memorize verses. Amen. You know what? I love what Brother DeShazo said about just singing. Just get in the car. You don't know what to say. You know, there's many, many, many songs that have been written of people that went through struggles and things like that. And God has allowed us to have that stuff. And you know what? Just say, oh God, and just sing and give God the praise. I love that. That was great. Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins..." I'm going to show you this, just so y'all see this. This is one of my most written words. Amen. All right. "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." This is the sword of the Spirit. You notice a couple things here, as I kind of shot through that for time purposes. But everything in the first few items that God tells us to put on, you notice that most of it was for our protection. And you know, have you ever noticed that when you put on armor, that if you look at somebody that has armor on, he said they put the breastplate of righteousness. He didn't say the back plate. He said the breastplate. You know? Because when you're standing and you're in a battle, we're moving forward. We're not turning. And we don't have our backs to the enemy. We turn to the enemy and we go. And God tells us we can battle by using this armor and this sword right here. Amen. This is all we need. Amen. And you know what? He also tells us that when we go into battle, that we don't have to fight alone. As a matter of fact, you ever see like little kids when they'll dress up and they had a suit of armor on, you know, but then the big guy comes up beside them and then he just fights the battle for them. You know, that's God. God says, put your armor on and show up and let me take care of it. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? If we don't care enough to stand up and fight the battle, God's not going to go and fight it for us. He tells us to be faithful and to show our faith and that our love for God and go and do what He wants us to do. We don't have to fight alone because we know that our God is bigger than any giant that there ever is. And you know that He's also bigger than any dart or anything that Satan has to throw at us. We just got to trust Him. And I have to say, whenever I read like verse 49 when it talks about David, and I know that we've learned since we were little kids that David went out and he fought the lion and he fought the, the, shot the bear, and he always practiced with his sling. But I got to have the feeling, I believe David was left-handed too, because I'm left-handed. The Bible doesn't say so. David was left-handed. But I got to believe that David, when he got that sling, he put that rock in it, and he whipped that thing up, and he flung that rock toward Goliath. I could just picture God up there going, giving a little extra blow to help that rock go a little bit faster when it planted into Goliath's head.
Yep.
And you know what? God is always there. I heard of one of the most... It was simple, but it was so true. I heard a man say, we went to a big revival, and it was a revival that God was just all over last year. And so everybody came and they said, man, I hope that God shows up again like He did last year. You know? And the first preacher stood up and he said, last time I checked, God was an unchanging God.
Yeah.
And if He showed up last year and He's not changing, then He's here right now. Then who didn't show up? And it was the people,
yeah,
that didn't show up. It was us. God's there.
Amen.
He tells us to trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him.
Amen.
I'm afraid to go soul winning. Trust Him. Put on your helmet of salvation.
Amen.
Grab your gospel and go out and just tell somebody your testimony.
Yep.
You know what? I said that I surrendered to preach years ago, but I didn't know what God had for me, and I wanted to be a missionary. And the day that I surrendered to be a missionary, I heard the most awesome message that I'd ever heard in my life. But it was the most simple message that I'd ever heard. And all it was a missionary giving his testimony. And you know what? There are people out these doors, like we saw this weekend, that are dying and going to hell.
Yep.
And you know what? There are also people outside these doors that want to get saved.
Yep.
They're looking. They're going to these box churches. They're going everywhere that the world has to offer, looking for something.
Yep.
And they can't see the tree for the forest to understand that the gospel is right here.
Amen.
We got to go give it to them. We got to get the gospel out there.
Amen.
One day we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for everything we did in this life.
Right. Yep.
And when God saved us and gave us this gospel and He told us to go, you ever notice that was one of the main things that He said? Go and give the gospel. In our faith, as we study about and we're talking about today, about increasing our faith, every time we go and we see somebody saved, that increases our faith.
Amen.
You know what? But if we don't go, is our faith going to be increased? No. Just going or just doing and just trusting God helps to increase our faith.
Amen.
And may I say to you, before David slew the giant, he had to leave his mountain. He had to leave his comfort zone, come off of that mountain, and go through that valley. He had to climb that next mountain, and he had to face those giants. But I say to you, when you reach the top of that next mountain and you got where God told you to go, think about this. One of my favorite songs that we sing in the hymnals is "I Know Who Holds Tomorrow."
Yeah.
As you think about that song, the chorus, it gives us wonderful encouragement. It tells us, says many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know Amen. Who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
And I know who holds my hand. And so I ask you today, how strong is your faith? Who's holding your hand? And who's guiding your life? Are you trusting everything in the Lord? Are you trusting in the world? Are you trusting in yourself? We're always going to fail, but God never fails. We got to keep going, and we got to trust in Him. And when we're on that mountain, don't be lazy. Don't be satisfied, and don't quit. We got to be ready, because you never know. God may want to move us from that mountain to another mountain.
Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Bible. Thank You, God, for speaking to our hearts. Thank You, Lord, for examples like David and many others throughout the Bible. Lord, I pray now that You'd bless this time of invitation, Lord. That, Lord, I believe that You're working in people's hearts. I know You always are. And Father, You're always trying to get us to that next level. Get us to that next phase in life where we can be more useful to You, more useful for Your glory. I pray, God, that someone here tonight that may be hearing the call, full-time ministry, the call to preach, or to surrender to do anything and everything that You'd have them to do. Lord, I pray that it would be tonight that they would come to this old-fashioned altar, God, and they just give their heart and their life, their hands, their feet, their lips, all of themselves, Lord, unto You. Father, I pray that You'd work in each one of our hearts, whatever it is You're moving us to, trying to, through Your Word, You're persuading and pushing and urging, and Lord, to move forward, to grow, to climb to that next level. God, I pray You'd help us to surrender tonight. Bless this invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight.